Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
In a few minutes, what if Donald Trump tried that carrier heating and air conditioning move on himself? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Donald Trump promised big changes in America's trade policy, and as president-elect, he's still tweeting. Over the weekend, the president-elect warned that companies that move production out of the U.S. could face a 35% fine on things they sell here, but now some Republican leaders are suggesting they might not be on board this approach. Marketplace's Andy Euler has been following this and joins us live. Andy, what is the tone coming from Republican leadership here?
Yeah, it really is the first real confrontation over Trump's plans for this new trade policy. Now, Trump campaigned on the idea that companies that decide to outsource jobs overseas are going to pay for it. Now he's suggesting this high fine for companies that do. Representative Kevin McCarthy, a Republican from California, told reporters yesterday that he, quote, didn't want to get into some kind of trade war. Now, McCarthy and other Republicans, including House Speaker Paul Ryan, have said they think addressing tax code and revamping corporate taxes the way to incentivize these American businesses to keep jobs here, not imposing these kinds of fines,
would be the way to incentivize it. Now, Mr. Trump's plan would be a real break from traditional Republican trade policy. So how is the new administration going to get this through Congress?
It really does set up a sort of battle between this talk of either rewriting the tax code or applying these sorts of fines, the latter certainly being more of a stick than a carrot. And what a lot of Republicans are saying will lead to trade wars and alienation of our trade partners. Now, the president does have the authority to negotiate or even pull out of trade deals. The president-elect has been talking a lot about doing that with NAFTA, but it's a lot more complicated thing to do to apply these sorts of fines. So if the GOP continues the opposition, he's going to have to figure out a more sort of nuanced approach to apply these sorts of fines before the approach goes anywhere.
All right. Marketplace's Andy Euler, thank you. We continue here to follow the early outlines of what could become industrial policy in a Trump administration. The president-elect leaning on Carrier, owned by United Technologies, to keep 800 or so furnace-making jobs in Indiana. Critics on the left point out that the company is still moving 1,300 jobs to Mexico. Critics on the right are nervous about an administration meddling in corporate decision-making. Marketplace regular and Washington Post columnist Alan Sloan thinks Donald Trump is onto something here. Mr. Sloan, good morning.
Good morning, David.
Some people are very excited that the jobs stayed.
Well, I'm very happy that 800 jobs stayed. I'm less than thrilled that 1,300 jobs are leaving, which almost nobody seems to notice. And though I am no fan of Trump and I am no fan of corporate America, in this case, I felt compelled to take a side. So I'm siding with Trump because if he can shame corporate America into caring about something other than the quarterly earnings or getting down costs this week, I'm all in favor of it.
I get it now, Alan. You yourself, through some of your journalism, have occasionally brought pressure to bear on corporations that you have thought have been doing the wrong thing.
I'm all in favor of doing something to make these people change their behavior because a lot of it, I think, is unnecessary.
Some of it, though, bringing pressure to bear on companies seems a bit ad hoc at this stage. A company that shows up in the headlines maybe gets the attention of the incoming administration, but that's not policy.
No, it's not policy. And Trump's explanation of his policy makes absolutely no sense in terms of holding jobs, because the problem Carrier thinks it has is that its costs for making furnaces was too high, not that its taxes were too high, but it wasn't making enough money on furnaces, so it wanted to export the jobs. And Trump's idea that, well, I can just put a 35% tariff on Carrier's furnaces coming back, that's not so easy, and it may not even be legal. But of course, there's also a lesson here for the president-elect that not many people have picked up on.
A lesson for Mr. Trump to embrace is what?
He's got his name and his family's got its name on all sorts of stuff that's made overseas and sold in the United States. Why doesn't he insist the stuff be made in the United States, in return for which he'll accept lower royalties, just like he wants Carrier to accept lower profits?
Oh, that's interesting. Alan Sloan is also editor-at-large for ProPublica. Alan, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
And now to cubism meets corporate restructuring. There's word that Lego of Denmark is bringing in a non-Dane to run the place, even as it gives shareholders, mainly the family that controls the successful company, more power. The BBC's Russell Padmore is in our partner newsroom in London and has been looking into this.
Lego's new chief executive, Bally Padda, was born in India in 1956, but has lived in England since he was 12. He's played several roles since joining the world's most profitable toy maker in 2002, experience which obviously earned him the trust of the family that controls the company in Denmark. Thomas Kirk Christensen, the great-grandson of the firm's founder, has said Bally possesses the right Lego mindset. The shake-up will also see the creation of a new division, Lego Brand Group, to explore new opportunities and oversee businesses like Lego Education and the theme park division.
Russell, thank you. And you may remember the online artificial intelligence agent that Microsoft created, a chatbot that learns from users. Since humans are bad, they taught the chatbot to say terrible things, racist and dirty things, and the company pulled the software offline. Now, there's a new one from Microsoft called Zoe, Z-O, Zoe. And if anyone suggests racist, politically controversial, or porny things, it demurs. When something obnoxious about Clinton Trump was input, Zoe said, "Maybe you missed that memo, but politics is something you're not supposed to casually discuss." Sounds like my Thanksgiving table. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week is Daniel Ramirez. I am David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM. American Public Media.
Oscar Gomez was a Chicano student activist in the 90s, a radio DJ, and a rising star.
He was fire. He was charisma incarnate. Everyone had a crush on him.
He was a voice of people who didn't have a voice.
Until his sudden and mysterious death. What happened to Oscar? Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.